This evening we are looking at Lord's Day 48 in the Catechism as we continue our series through the Catechism, focusing specifically on Christian prayer. Tonight we're looking at the second petition, so it's the second thing that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer, that your kingdom come. You can find Lord's Day 48 on page 895. Page 895 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. I'll read this question, and we can all respond together with the answer. What does the second petition mean? Your kingdom come means, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. Now I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 122. Psalm 122 is our passage this evening. It's one of the footnotes of Lord's Day 48, specifically to preserve and increase your church. And then the footnote for that is Psalm 122. But before we turn our attention to God's Word this evening, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn to your word, we ask that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 122, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells his disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And he tells his disciples to pray in a very distinct way, asking six petitions, making six requests, and each of these requests are a declaration of his kingdom. The Lord's Prayer is prayed thoughtfully by us, because as we are praying the Lord's Prayer, we are declaring his present rule on earth right now, as well as asking him and petitioning him to continue that rule and for him to bring that rule to its fullest expression. And so in that way, you can say that the Lord's Prayer is a declaration of God's kingdom, his kingdom that is already here, but at the same time, not yet fully expressed, not at its fullest state. In this way, the request, your kingdom come, is not just a request, one request among, six other requests within the Lord's Prayer, but rather, it is the entire prayer. All of the requests declare Christ's coming kingdom. When John Calvin comments on your kingdom come, he makes an unusual claim. He makes a strange statement. He said, this contains nothing new. Now, this sounds strange, but Calvin is right. This contains nothing new. Once we've prayed for God's name to be hallowed, hallowed be your name, then we've also prayed for his kingdom to become, because that's how his name is hallowed. And we've also prayed that his will be done. Because when God's name is set apart as holy, his commandments will be obeyed and his reign is going to be acknowledged. Now, Lord's Day 48 and question answer 23 asks, what does the second petition mean? What does your kingdom come mean? And Psalm 122 is the footnote to the answer of Lord's Day 48, specifically the line, preserve and increase your church, keep your church strong and add to your church. So when we're praying, your kingdom come, we are praying that God will preserve and keep his church and add to it. And this is somehow connected with Psalm 122, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. So what does this psalm mean exactly? Psalm 122. Does Jerusalem have any significance in the life of the Christian today? Now, among American Christians, there is confusion about the literal and physical Jerusalem today, the temple and the Holy Land. Dispensationalists or even premillennialists believe that Jesus will return to earth for his 1,000-year reign being centered in Jerusalem. And that's why it's so important and so significant. An entire generation raised on the Scofield Reference Bible holds to that thinking. But as Reformed Christians, we believe that Christ is ruling and reigning right now. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. And when he returns, that's it. And so then what is the significance of Jerusalem for us today? Should Christians be fighting over their slice or their district of it? Is Jerusalem anything more than an ancient city with lots of history? Does it have ongoing significance for us? Should we all be making pilgrimages to Jerusalem? Is that where we find the presence of the Lord? Similar to the people of Israel all those years ago. And more specifically, for our current study on Christian prayer, should we be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, like we see in Psalm 122, verse 6? So we have lots of questions to process as we dive into this passage this evening in light of praying, your kingdom come. And basically, I want us to see how Jesus is the fulfillment of Jerusalem. And the reason for our praise and prayer. I want us to see how Psalm 122 is a prayer for the kingdom of God to come. The excitement that the psalmist here feels as he stands in Jerusalem in the presence of God rejoicing hints at an even fuller presence of God that is ours in Jesus Christ right now. Which then spurs us on in this journey as we look forward to the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And that'll be our 3 points this evening. First of all, the city of Jerusalem in the past, our Jerusalem presently today, and the new Jerusalem that we're looking forward to in the future. And so first, the city of Jerusalem in the past. What did Jerusalem mean for God's people at the time when this psalm, the psalm of David, the psalm of ascent was written, Psalm 122? Now answering this question is going to help us understand what it means for us today. This psalm, Psalm 122, if you have your Bibles open, you can flip a page back to Psalm 120 and 121. All of these are psalms of ascent. You've got Psalm 121, which is the Traveler's Psalm, or often known as the Traveler's Psalm. These are the psalms that were sung as travelers were ascending to Jerusalem at the final stages of their journey, as they're making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem so they could worship the Lord. These are the psalms that were sung. It's been a long and a difficult trip, and finally they've arrived in Jerusalem, and they are so incredibly happy to be there. And the question is, why? Why are they so happy? Why did they make this trip? And the answer is because they've come to worship. The house of the Lord is in Jerusalem. I was glad when they said to me, finally, let us go to the house of the Lord. They've come to worship. The place to worship, the place of God's presence is in Jerusalem. The place of God's protection is in Jerusalem. The place of God's peace is in Jerusalem. And so in one sense, this psalm is directing our attention. It is talking about the physical city of Jerusalem, the bricks and the mortar, standing at the gates, going to the house of the Lord. But the emphasis of this psalm isn't so much the physical Jerusalem in and of itself. What makes Jerusalem so important is because this is where the house of the Lord is. And why is that such a significant point? Why is that such a big deal? What's so significant about the house of the Lord? Well, the significance of the house of the Lord is because that is where the presence of God is. The reason for the journey, the reason for the joy of arriving in Jerusalem is because now we are in the presence of the Lord. We are at the house of the Lord. Now I want to illustrate this point that it's not so much about the physical structure in and of itself, but rather the presence of God that makes Jerusalem important. I want to illustrate that by having you think about home. Home is not so much the building, but it's the people that are there. If you think about going to grandma's house, it's not the same going to grandma's house if she's vacationing in Florida and you're just sitting in an empty house. It's about the people that are there. Well, the same is true when it comes to us and our desire to be with God. There's a restlessness, there's a longing in our hearts, a restlessness that can only be satisfied by the presence of God. You can think of Psalm 84. Psalm 84 expresses this longing for the dwelling place, the presence of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, the place where you live, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The longing here is for God's presence. Not so much for the physical location somewhere, but rather the place is longed for because this is where God is. Jerusalem is great, not because of its strategic location, not because of its architecture, but because that's where God is. And it's His presence that gives the city its characteristics. Because God is there, there's protection. Peace be within your walls. Verse 7 says, you have the security within your towers. This true peace, this true security does not come from the city, but from the presence of God within the city. Now, one commentary that I was reading on Psalm 122, he said it this way. He said it's the psalmist is more interested in admiring the city than in worshiping Yahweh in Zion. So this is one One guy commenting on the psalm, he's saying, yeah, the psalmist, David, here is more interested in admiring and praising the city than he is in praising and worshiping God. But unfortunately, I think this commentator missed the point. We see that the psalmist is rejoicing about Jerusalem, but the reason for his joy is not because of the city itself, but because of the presence and the protection and the peace of the Lord that is there. And that's the reason for his joy, is his prayers and his praise. Jerusalem, in that way, is pointing to something more, something that is greater. You can think of it kind of like an embassy. When you have an American embassy in a foreign country like Kenya or Germany, the embassy is full of Americans. It represents America. Some even say that the ground it's on is considered American soil or territory. Any attack on an American embassy is an attack on America. The embassy gives people a taste of America. But the embassy is not America itself. It's not the purple mountain majesty or the fruited plains of the USA. When American citizens need to be evacuated from an embassy, they come home to the United States. Well, in a similar way, Jesus, Jerusalem, points us to something more. And that's Jesus. I gave it away. Jerusalem points us to something more. It points us to God's presence, His protection, His peace, which we ultimately find in Christ, His body, and today, the church. Now, this helps us to understand what Jerusalem meant to God's people back then. Jerusalem represented God's presence and His protection and His peace. But what does that mean for us today? And that's our second point this evening, our Jerusalem today, presently. What does Jerusalem mean for us today? When the psalmist is singing about Jerusalem, we already saw that it's not so much about the city, but rather the presence of God, the place where the house of the Lord was. And that was the case at that time in redemptive history. And what we're talking about ultimately is God's presence and His protection of His people, and the peace that they have in Him. And all of that's located in the city of Jerusalem. And now for us today, that presence, that protection, that peace is located for us in Christ, expressed in His church. For example, what does God's presence look like today? Where is God? I'll ask that in a different way. Where is God? What does His presence and His protection and His peace look like today? Do we need to travel to Jerusalem in order to worship God? Boys and girls, if I were to ask you, where is God? I'm guessing that your answer would be, well, He's everywhere. Okay, well, where do I have to be in order to pray with God or pray to God? Well, I can pray to God everywhere. So we don't have to travel to Jerusalem in order to worship God and to be in His presence like God's people did long ago. So what changed? What's the difference? The difference is Christ. Since Christ has come, things are different. How do we experience Christ's presence today? Where do we praise Him and experience His protection and His peace? Today we don't need to make a trip to Jerusalem or to any other city to experience the presence of God. Think about Jesus at the well. In John 4, Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, yet we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Because the house of the Lord, The presence of God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. When we put our faith in Christ, we are in His presence, in the house where the Lord dwells by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Ephesians 2, verse 21. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So here you have Jerusalem as the presence and the protection and the peace of God, which is now in Christ being transferred to us as the church. Not so much the physical bricks and mortar, but rather the presence of God living inside of His people. And so in that way, it's really fitting to have, for us to have Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We have it on the wall, on the east entrance. And it's fitting, not because of the building, but because of God's presence with His people. The church, the body of Christ. The kingdom of God. It wasn't about the physical city back then. It's not about the physical church building, bricks and mortar, but rather the presence of God. And so at this point, do you see how the prayer, "Your kingdom come," is being worked out? The ancient city with its temples and its temple worship served a purpose at that time. God's presence, His protection, His peace. But something much better has come that has replaced it, and that's Jesus Christ. And He has established a new temple. He has inaugurated a new kingdom. Not just physical blocks and mortar, but a spiritual one. And now Christians, through faith in Jesus Christ, have come into the presence of God Himself, the place where God rules and reigns and protects and provides peace. And when you are part of the body of Christ, you are part of the church, the body of Christ. You are part of His kingdom. We experience His presence, His protection, His peace. Everything that was symbolized in Jerusalem back in the day. Which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The church today is for us what Jerusalem was for Israel back in the day. The place of God's presence and His protection, His peace. And in response to that, a place of prayer and praise. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And this is why Psalm 122 is used as a footnote. Keep your church strong, O Lord, and add to it. John the Baptist came declaring the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he said. We see this throughout all of the Gospels, the coming of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist announced that the kingdom of heaven is at hand because of the arrival of Jesus Christ. Christ ushered in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." And He's teaching us in light of that, the entire Sermon of the Mount, He's teaching us this, how to live as kingdom citizens. You have heard it said, but I tell you, this is what it looks like to live as a citizen of His kingdom. Overarching His sermon is the fact that Christ has brought the kingdom of God, but not yet completely. And His followers are part of this new kingdom, living like citizens of Christ's kingdom. And so in that way, His kingdom has already come, as Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come." Heidelberg explains what that means. "Rule us by Your word and Spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to You." And so we're asking that His kingdom comes because we're part of His kingdom. We're subjects of the kingdom of God. as opposed to the work of Satan, which is contrary to the church and the kingdom of God. But in addition to praying for God's present rule and preservation of his kingdom and his church, we're also asking and looking forward to the time when God's kingdom will come completely, fully. And so when we're praying, your kingdom come, it's also praying for God's complete and perfect kingdom to come. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The kingdom that all believers look forward to, the kingdom that Revelation 21 is talking about. And then I saw a new heavens and a new earth coming down, a new Jerusalem coming down. First heaven, first earth had passed away. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for the continual building up of the kingdom that's already here. And we are looking forward with hope and joy, petitioning the Father to bring the ultimate fulfillment and consummation of his kingdom. Earlier I pointed out that Jerusalem was simply pointing to something more. And how Christ's body, the church, now represents God's presence and his protection and his peace. Well, in a similar way, the church today points to something more. It's just a taste. It's just a glimpse of what's coming. Something much larger. And that's our third and our final point this evening, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. Psalm 122 calls us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Praying for the peace of God. Now, practically speaking, it's good for us today to be praying for and expecting peace and prosperity as we live our lives in the presence of God's protection. The psalmist here is not only praying for peace and prosperity for himself, but he's praying for the sake of others. He's praying for peace within your walls, verse 7. Verse 8, for my brothers and companions, may they be secure who love you, verse 6. He's praying for peace within your walls, for security for my brothers and companions. For their sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek your good. And so these prayers for peace that we see in this psalm aren't individualistic or selfish, but they're offered for the sake of a family and friends, the entire house of God. And in a similar way, when we jump to the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2, Paul urges us, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and in all holiness. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Part of the irony of that statement in verse 6 is that the name Jerusalem, the Hebrew name Jerusalem, contains the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. But throughout history, Jerusalem has not been a very peaceful place. It's been attacked. It's been destroyed many times. It's still embroiled in turmoil. And so once again, we see how this Jerusalem, this place of peace, is actually pointing to something more. More than just a city in Palestine. We see how it's pointing to more than just the church currently, because you could describe the church as being attacked and destroyed and embroiled in turmoil as well. What we're looking forward to, what we're praying for, your kingdom come, is the perfect fulfillment of God's presence and his protection and his peace. And our perfect response of praise and prayer. And the church here and now is just a glimpse, just a taste, just a foreshadowing of the fullness of God's kingdom that we look forward to. The New Jerusalem still to come. And in that way, in many ways, we can relate with the travelers of Psalm 120 and 121, the traveler's psalm, these psalms of ascent. We can relate with these travelers who are on their journey, on their way to Jerusalem, because that's our reality as well. We are on a journey. We are on the way, traveling to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. The Jerusalem and house of the Lord, the presence of God that we are looking forward to is described by Jude. God's presence, His protection, His peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Our praise is that God is able to keep us from falling on this journey, to bring us, to present us before Him in His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Revelation, if you go even further, all the way to the end, Revelation 21 gives us a picture of what we are praying for when we pray, "Your kingdom come." I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." What is that? That's presence. God's presence. He will wipe every tear from their eye. Protection. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Peace. And this is why in our prayer, we are asking God to rule us by His Word and Spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to Him. To preserve, to keep the church and add to it, to destroy Satan's work. And to do this until Your kingdom comes fully. When You will be all in all. The excitement that the psalmist, that David in Psalm 122, feels as he stands in Jerusalem in the presence of God rejoicing only hints at the even fuller presence of God that is ours in Jesus Christ right now. Which spurs us forward in this journey as we look forward to the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And that's how we sing this psalm. That's how we pray this psalm for God's presence and His protection and His peace. At this point, the Church of Christ in the New Jerusalem that we are going to, that we are going there. And as we journey, as we travel to this New Jerusalem, as we anticipate the day of Christ's kingdom coming fully, we know that the One who is able to keep us from falling on this journey is also the One who is going to bring us into His glorious presence with great joy. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are glad when we are able to say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord, into Your house, to Your presence, to Your protection and peace that is ours in Jesus Christ." Lord, we pray that Your kingdom come. Rule us by Your Word and Spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to You. We pray that You will preserve and keep Your church. Grow Your church. Add to it. Destroy the work of the devil. Destroy every conspiracy against Your Word, against Your kingdom. And do this, Lord, until Your kingdom comes. Until Your kingdom comes fully and You are all in all. Lord, hear our prayer. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.